I'm going to keep this short, and it's pretty short anyway. But before I start, I think let's pray. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity of being able to share. I just pray for me that I would be open and honest, and also that I would be listening to what you have to say, Father. And it wouldn't just be my own words, but you know, by your Spirit. And I just pray that tonight as well in this place that, Father, you would open people's ears to the words that you want to say, Father, and that people would be touched in this place. And would leave changed and touched by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what I'm going to talk about today is something that's very simple, something that everybody knows about, but something that has led to the destruction of not just mere men, but of angels. And that one thing is pride. A well-known preacher once admitted these things: "My pride is so infernal that there is not a man on earth who can hold it in. Pride is yet my darling sin. I cannot shake it off. Oh, may I be kept humble. Pride dwells in my heart." That was Charles Spurgeon who said that, who's a very well-known preacher, full of words of wisdom that God had anointed. And he was aware of this one sin, this one thing that kept bugging him over and over and over again, and that was pride. So pride has been around since the fall of Lucifer and the angels, and also man sinning in the Garden of Eden. If we take a look at Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, kind of. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So clearly that led to all kinds of terrible things, because Lucifer was a beautiful angel. He was the lead. You know, he worshipped the Lord, worshipped God, and I think it got to the point where he started to get so full of himself that he thought, "Oh, you know what? Why can't I be like God?" You know, and suddenly, oh dear, the focus changed from looking at God to looking at himself. So what is pride? Now, I read this and thought it was really good, so I'll share it with you. And it says this: "Pride is not just a problem for me," which is very true. It's a problem for everybody. But it's a problem for humanity. "Pride's been defined as a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction in an achievement, an accomplishment, or in someone else or something else. But it's also been described as conceit, egotism, vanity, vainglory, all over one's own appearance or status in life, and not just something that's been accomplished. It is an inwardly directed emotion that can easily offend others and carries with it a connotation that displays an inflated sense of one's own worth or personal status, and typically makes one feel a sense of superiority over others and can easily make someone look down at others. Pride in one's own nation or in one's own children is somewhat different from that having pride in themselves. But even that can self-attribute a sense of worth that is easily overvalued, overinflated, and can be unrealistic." So now let's take a look at the scriptures. And this is just a few, it is full. And especially the book of Proverbs is just fantastic. And there's so many scriptures comparing pride to humility and the importance of humility as well. But let's take a look at a few of them. So James 4:6 says, start with that one. "In his," Psalm 10:4 says, "In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." Yeah, James 4:6 said, God opposes the proud. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I apologize, the words are slightly different because there's a few different versions. But Proverbs 8:13 says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Ecclesiastes 7:8, patience is better than pride. I'm just going to pick bits and pieces, but I think you get the idea. And Isaiah 2:11 says, I'll read this version, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So that's obviously at the end of time. Scripture after scripture after scripture keeps saying about pride being a wicked, wicked thing, something that puts ourselves, if you like, in front of God, something that opposes him, something that's in complete opposite to like his holiness. Like pride is like a seed that leads to like absolute destruction, and it can start often like a very small and unexpected thing, and yet it can grow, I think, just because of the nature of the fallen world we live in. So yeah, that's what I actually wrote down, which is handy. It's something we need to be obviously aware of, as it is really a very true and real enemy to our walk with God and also to our very souls. What throughout history has been recognized as the deadliest of vices, and this is why we need to be aware of this. I'm sure everybody is. I mean, I have to tell myself as well, like all the time, because, you know, temptation is always there. But what throughout history has been recognized as the deadliest of vices is now almost celebrated as a virtue in our culture. Pride and arrogance are conspicuous among the rich, the powerful, the successful, the famous, and celebrities of all sorts, and even some religious leaders. And it is also alive and well in ordinary people, including each of us. Yet few of us realize how dangerous it is to our souls and how greatly it hinders our intimacy with God and love for others. Humility, on the other hand, is often seen as weakness, and few of us know much about it or pursue it. For the good of our souls, then, we need to gain a clearer understanding of pride and humility and how to forsake the one and embrace the other. So yeah, I copied and pasted that, but I thought that was a really good, made a really good point. And especially, like it says, the world we live in today, it's so different even from biblical times when the Bible was written, and yet the warnings are so clear there. How much more so in our culture today when we have temptations of all kinds to turn us away from God, whether it be on our own success or the things of the world or... pride can come in all kinds of forms. However, there is a type of pride which can exist even among believers, even fervent believers, and it's something that it can be very subtle, but it can grow into something quite nasty. I read an article from the C.S. Lewis Institute, and it put it like this. Few people today seem to be aware of the danger of spiritual pride, but spiritual leaders throughout the history of the church have always seen it as a great plague and a tool of the devil. Even in times of revival, it is a danger. Commenting on the revival in Northampton, Massachusetts in 1737, Jonathan Edwards said, "The first and worst cause of errors that abound in our day and age is spiritual pride. This is the main door by which the devil comes into the hearts of those who are zealous for the advancement of Christ. It is the chief inlet of smoke from the bottomless pit to darken the mind and mislead the judgment. Pride is the main handle by which he has a hold of Christian persons and the chief source of all the mischief that he introduces to clog and hinder a work of God. Spiritual pride is the main spring, or at least the main support of all other errors, until this disease is cured. Medicines are applied in vain to heal all other diseases." If we look at Luke 18, verse 9 to 14, we have a parable, the parable of the tax collector. Yeah, I've got that version. "Also he spoke to this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like that other man, extortioners, not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a good lesson on religious pride. It is aimed at those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. It addresses spiritual pride, an especially subtle and dangerous temptation of religious people and leaders. So that parable's always, the first time I read it, like, that really hit me, because I knew that, oh my goodness, you know, that's something that I know I probably do all the time without even realizing half the time, because I think, you know, so often we can compare ourselves to others, and especially when God has, like, you know, has blessed you with a good life and stuff going pretty well, and then, you know, you might see a homeless person, and it's easy to jump to judgments all the time, you know, being open and being honest. So that's definitely a real challenge for me as well. But I think if we can deal with these issues, if we can start to put God at the forefront of everything, then often that starts dealing with our pride, because if he's first, we don't have room to start being prideful, because he's our main focus. Also, it comes down to being honest and vulnerable. You know, if we're being open and honest, then it's like being an open book, isn't it? We're able to kind of reflect the truth to others, to be a witness to others. And again, that's something that I believe kind of steps on the kind of head of pride a bit. So obviously we all have flaws and issues, and we all have stuff we need to grapple with, pride, other sins, it could be anything really, and stuff we need to leave at the foot of the cross. You know, things we've been forgiven about, but we're still holding on to, stuff like that all the time. Like, the problem is, if these issues aren't dealt with, you know, we could be restricting our walk with God, and again, our witness to others. You know, I'm sure everyone feels the same, but I really want to be try to be a good example to the people around me, because we do have a lot of responsibility that the Lord has put on all of our shoulders. You know, we're representing him here on the earth. We're his witnesses. You know, people will watch and look at you and all the time, and they will judge you. And, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, if we're wanting to put God first, if we're wanting to try and do the right thing, if we're wanting to put our own abilities away and just trust in the Lord, people will see that. People will be touched. And honestly, I think maybe 90-95%, that's just a rough guess, of people, we won't have a clue that we've impacted, or, you know, that the Lord's impacted through us, because we don't necessarily see the fruit of that. But it can be so powerful. That's one of the most powerful witnesses. I mean, yes, often, you know, we need to tell people about the Lord, but often even just being an example, it can be a very powerful thing, and certainly can be like planting a seed within that person, like, why are they different? There's something about them, you know? Why are they so at peace? Things like that, you know, gets people thinking. It's good. Spurgeon said this. This is about walking in honesty and integrity, and he said this. Beloved, make your lives clear. Be you as the brook, wherein you may see every stone at the bottom, not as the muddy creek. So why is honesty and integrity so important? Well, in Acts 24:16, Paul was wrongly accused of something, and this was his response. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. The ESV puts it like this. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards both God and man. He knew that he wasn't in the wrong. He knew that because he was walking in integrity and honesty, you know, what can man do? You know, God's his judge. And if we start walking like that, then wow, you know, people can throw all kinds of insults, can try and pull your name through the ground, stuff like that, but it will all come to nothing because, you know, we've been walking in integrity. And again, where's pride in all that? Well, you know, it's a step towards humility, I think. You know, again, it all kind of comes down to putting God first. And I put down here, kind of jumping around a bit, the importance of having a clear conscience and walking in honesty and integrity and being able to stand against any accusations of attacks from the enemy. We cannot have a clear conscience before God and man if we are harboring pride. So that, again, it comes down to that. If we've got pride, it kind of muddies up our conscience a bit because, you know, it's like the muddy brook, isn't it? It's like, are people really seeing the truth? Are people seeing his witness within us? Or are they just kind of seeing, you know, us puffing ourselves up a little bit? And, you know, I've got to be honest, I say us. I mean, I know I do that all the time. And it can be the smallest things like, okay, you get a new job or something like that. And then you kind of think, oh, yeah, I'm doing all right for myself here. You get a new car. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at me. Stuff like that. I mean, I get these thoughts and then I know, God, I need to really deal with these things. So that's being open and honest. And, you know, I think it's good to be honest. And, you know, I want to see Penrith changed. I want to see Cumbria changed. I want to see England, you know, everywhere. You know, why limit it? But it starts with us. We can pray, we can pray, we can pray. But if we're not walking in righteousness and integrity, are things going to happen, or are we just kind of stepping on the spot, you know? Because I think it comes down to, again, if we put the Lord first in everything we do, if we, you know, then everything else follows, you know? Like, he gives us a heart to reach out to people. He gives us that love that we can share with people. He gives us the desire to share about him with people. I mean, it just all kind of just starts clicking into place. So, lastly, how can we combat pride? I've covered some things, but this is what I wrote down. There's so much more to it than this. This is just kind of really compacted into one very small thing. But needing to rely on God and not our own abilities. And often this can be through trials as well that God sometimes sends. These are often times of refining and times where we can really start to you know, trust in the Lord more than we ever have before. And you see it, the persecuted church and the fervor and the passion of the people there and their love for the word as well, wanting, desperate to get Bibles and stuff like that. It's just, it's something that just touches me so much, you know, and being in Vietnam and some of these places and just seeing, often living with so little, but being so content, but so hungry for like the food, the spiritual food, the word. You know, it's an the passion of the prayer. It's just amazing. It's something that, you know, definitely challenges me. So that, and we need to obviously humble ourselves. So there's two more scriptures here. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, which says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And Matthew 23, 12 says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So ultimately, putting the Lord first in everything we do will prevent something that has led to the destruction of men of God, women of God, who have started out strong with a real hunger and a passion for God and wanted to reach people, but their ministries hit the rocks, hit the rails, there's been scandals, it all starts with a seed of pride, and that seed, if it isn't dealt with, you know, can cause destruction. So let's pray. Father, I pray that in this place tonight, that you would prepare us, you would guard our hearts, Father, that you would guard us against the evil, disgusting thing that is pride, Father, and help us just to be humble in your hands, Father. Help us to be your servants, Father, not make a name for ourselves, but help us just to be willing to serve you, Father. May we just be open to everything you want us to do, and help us to wrestle against our own flesh, Father, but trust in you and in your spirit, Father. May your will be done in our lives. May your kingdom come in this place as we trust in you, Father, as we put aside our own desires I just pray for protection as well, especially on leaders, on Graham, as, you know, it's such a critical ministry, Father, and as we know, you know, there are attacks from all sides, but as we trust in you, you know, them attacks are useless. I mean, that they won't do anything, Father. So I just pray for that, that we would all remain just focused on you. Me as well, Father, that I would just be able to just focus on you and not get carried away by the things of this world, Father. Help me to be an example in my workplace as well. And I pray that for everyone here today too, Father. And if they feel inadequate or anything like that, I just pray that they would receive a sense of satisfaction of being in you and following you, Father. As we know, you know, there's no point striving in our own strength, but as we strive for you, as we put our trust in you, as we hope in you, Father, then we know that, you know, anything's possible with you. So we thank you for that. Thank you for your precious Son, Father, that died so that we were even able to have a relationship with you in the first place, because all this would be useless without that, Father. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.